Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Go. Welcome to the Gridiron Show in association with Touchdown Trips, getting you,
yes, you,
in the game. Yay. Will and Ollie, we're in the studio together, buddy.
Woohoo.
Isn't that very exciting? And coming up on the show today, we're going to review Thursday night football. Can the Browns get their first win of the season?
Yes.
We're going to look forward to all of Sunday and Monday's games. And we're going to be speaking with Joe Tooney of the New England Patriots and maybe Luke Wilson of the Detroit Lions as well. This is the Gridiron Show. Hello, welcome to the Gridiron Show in association with Touchdown Trips, getting you.
Yes, you.
In the game, if you are thinking about planning a trip out to the States, really, the only option is to go with Ben Mortimer and Touchdown Trips.
You know,
it'd be ridiculous to do anything else.
If I wasn't going already,
yeah,
I would 100% book a trip. The Packers, UK Packers guys, have got 3 separate trips with Ben from Touchdown Trips, getting you, yes, you, in the game. 3 separate...
you know, we don't have to say
that. Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. But those guys have got trips to Lambeau, the home of football. So there are loads of, you can go to pretty much... I think you go to any NFL team.
Can you just hear that distant sound? It's the sound of every Vikings, Bears and Lions fan turning the podcast off and unsubscribing. Home of football.
Soldier Field's a great place, and I also love Minnesota. So you can go to those places too.
Not high in Detroit, the home of Sunday night football this week.
I've not been to Detroit.
Oh, that's fair. If you've not been, then you can't say that you love it. But we did love Minnesota despite the cold, and we did love ourselves a bit of a...
I think because of the cold, I liked Minnesota.
Ooh,
okay. I thought it was great.
Okay.
Didn't you think it was great?
Here we go. Yeah, no, I did. I had a great time in Minnesota.
It was brilliant. It was so cold.
It was so cold. But it did restrict some of the things we could do. I'd like to have been there in spring or autumn rather than the worst bit of winter. That would have that's just all I'm saying. It's a lovely place.
Do you know what?
Maybe go 2 months later.
If I go back, that's when I'd like to go. But I thought it was perfect going when we did. I like being in the freezing tundra. It was brilliant.
All right.
I don't know why you're complaining.
All right. Sorry.
No, fair enough.
Sorry. Nah, you know, can't help it.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
right, coming up on the show today. So we've got interviews lined up. This is really frustrating because, as you know, me and Ollie do Sunday night football on Talk Sport. We've got the, Patriots Lions game this weekend, and so we reached out to both the teams. And
by the way, I hate that term, reach out.
Oh, okay,
it's
sorry.
Real corporate, like. Horrible.
Yeah, that was. I went a little bit. I sound like David Brent because of my stupid Redden accent.
My ex-wife used that term to me this week. She is the worst person on the planet, by the way. But reach
getting worse as well.
Oh, she's getting worse. But reach out is up there with one of the worst terms on the planet. We got in contact with the Lions and the Patriots to try and get
a player on from
a
each.
Player on. Yeah.
So, but they both came back to us and offered us a player. Great. Good player as well. Joe Tooney, a player who started every single, I think he took every single snap of his rookie season at guard as they went to beat the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl. I spoke to him in the locker room after that game. So kind of nice to speak to him again a year and a half later. Plus, he can tell us all about Josh Gordon in training, which would be good.
Oh, yeah.
And then Luke Wilson, tight end of the Detroit Lions. Obviously, recently travelled over from Seattle. Difference between those two, working under Matt Patricia, working with Matt Stafford. Loads of great talking points.
Yep, yep.
Except they literally offered us the exact same window for the interview. So we're going to try and get both interviews done and bring them both to you on this podcast, but it might end up being one or the other. And it's going to be a super secret fun mystery as to who it's going to be later in the show.
Yeah, so stay tuned, guys.
We'll also have Red Zone Sports. We'll have the betting at the end of the show for you as well.
That's
Red Zone
where you've been this
bet.
Morning, isn't
this
it?
This morning, yeah. This I was over there with
mooning.
Warren hanging out and lots more. So shall we do this thing?
Yeah, I don't think there's much news to speak of. So let's just get into it. Let's get get started on what I think is another brilliant set of 6 o'clock games.
The Sunday games are fantastic this weekend, but firstly, we need to look back on Thursday night football.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In our true Scooby-Doo ending style.
It's about 4:50 in the morning, and the Cleveland Browns now haven't won a game, not in 635 days, but in about 8 minutes. The Cleveland Browns are 1-1-1, and why? Because they won a game of football, and they did it behind rookie quarterback Baker Mayfield, no less. Look, I ended up making extensive notes on this game because I just had a feeling something special was going to happen. So I'm going to run it down for you. First quarter, defensive battle, one for the purists. Some good plays, but nothing too showy, nothing too big to talk about. Jets score off the block punt. Crowell with a rushing touchdown, then a really good drive from Sam Darnold after a three and out from Tyrod. 10 plays, 63 yards, Crowell 2 yard rush, Jets 14-0 down. The first thing to be really clear on is the Cleveland Browns do not win if Tyrod was still in the game. He was so poor before the concussion. He was, I think, 1 of 7 at one point. He overthrew Antonio Callaway on two potential long touchdowns. Now, one of them was a terrible lack of pass interference call, which Pereira tried to tell us on the game cast was no interference because the guy was looking at the ball. He ran straight into Callaway. That was unfair. And Tyrod didn't throw a terrible ball, but had he led him, it would have been a touchdown. Second one, he would have been streaking out into the wide open. Real, real shame. So, Tyrod takes sack, head hits the ground, goes in for concussion protocol. Baker Mayfield comes in for the 2-minute drill, and the place goes insane. Joe Thomas's reaction on the sideline was amazing. The stadium just came completely alive. And importantly, Mayfield was trusted with the 2-minute drill. Admittedly, it's simplified play call, simplified defense, and the classic kind of numbered. But he was out there and running it all from the line. He was running up to the line, 1-1-1, 3-3-3, whatever player he wanted to call, he was calling. That first drive included a great pass to Landry, a slightly wobbly pass behind in Njoku, but completed it. He was then strip sacked. Is it me or is the 2-minute fumble rule absolute rubbish? Joel Batonio could have got a 9-yard gain. It was amazing. A real shame. But he gets him back into field goal range off the next play after the sack with a real nice tight window throw to Jarvis Landry. Maybe should have thrown a bit low to Antonio Callaway on the sideline and he could have made a play. But the field goal was nailed, 14-3, and the stadium are acting like he's just scored 20 points on one drive somehow. Second half came out against a full defense, so not those simplified 2-minute looks. 14 of 19, 158 yards, but two rushing touchdowns from Carlos Hyde. And most importantly, a Browns win. The offense itself was pretty quick strike, nothing too overcomplicated. Mayfield was getting the ball out quickly, which is nice to see. Progressed through two or three reads a couple of times. And in one play on the first drive of the half, which ended in a punt, but he scrambled absolutely brilliantly outside the pocket to the right, ended up having to sidestep the pressure of Jordan Jenkins, who had got the strip sack earlier, found Duke Johnson on third down at the sideline for the first down. It was an absolute highlight play, showed everything we loved about Mayfield in college. There were three turnovers in total in the second half from the Browns. The first of all, Denzel Ward's forced fumble, which led to the field goal. Admittedly, on there, Mayfield could have been picked on third and goal, trying to force it into Jarvis Landry. Wasn't. Gets the reprieve. Then they get a three and out of their own, and you get an excellent quick fire. 7-play, 2-minute 50, 69-yard drive, which ended in a brilliant catch from Jarvis Landry on the one, a 29-yard completion on a streak route. Baker gave him his best chance to make it, threw it into the only place Landry could high point the ball. Hyde gets the 1 yard run. We are within 2 points. And what happens? 2-point conversion, wild card snap to Duke Johnson, reverse to Jarvis Landry, who threw it to Baker Mayfield for the touchdown. 14 apiece. Jets come out. Pretty good drive from Darnold, including a really nice 3rd-and-10 completion. He showed some great maturity on the night. He did have some really good plays. Darnold wasn't poor by any comparison, but he was forced to settle for the 28-yard field goal. The Browns standing up in the red zone, their defense playing well again, 17-14, and the Browns come out. 15 plays, 75 yards, 6.52, and another short yardage touchdown for Carlos Hyde. 21-17, that's what the final score was. And on that drive, we had a couple of really good plays again. Good third down completion to Duke Johnson on 3rd-and-5 at midfield. He led Callaway for a potential downfield strike after Callaway had those two earlier underthrown balls. This one was on the money. It was a harder catch maybe than the others would have been, but Callaway drops it, makes up for it on a 3rd-and-10. Mayfield throwing a couple of yards short to the stick, but Callaway made some great efforts to get for the first. Mayfield and Landry showed some really good chemistry. There's a fantastic 8-yard completion over the middle with some really tough underneath coverage. He threw into a really tight window that got them down to pretty much the goal line. Hyde runs it in. Hyde looked good all night, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then Joel Schubert picks Sam Darnold to apparently kill the game. But the Browns were just what they needed. Just one first down, end up going 3 and out. My heart can't take it at this point. And surely you're not going to Browns it. And then the Jets try to force it. Downfield throw. Terrence Mitchell picking off the deep ball. The game is dead. And the Cleveland Browns have their first win in 635 days. And I need to go to bed.
That was Thursday Night Football.
It was.
It's going to be ridiculous to say this now after you've just heard me, maybe me and Ollie, we might figure it out, who knows, talking about Thursday Night Football, but I think the Browns are going to get their first win in 635 days tonight.
Yeah, I think so as well.
And that's no offence to Jets fans, and I'm probably wrong already, as you've already heard. I just think that Browns defence over the first 2 weeks has been good enough to be 2-0. Rookie quarterback, okay, great receiving options and stuff, but I just think it's set up that that one unit could win the game for them. Although they should have won the game for them in New Orleans, and they should have won the game for them against Pittsburgh as well. So there you go. Right, 6 o'clock games this weekend, and they are a cracking slate of 6 o'clock games, as Ollie pointed out. Where do you want to start, Ollie?
Well, across my timeline with Atlanta Falcons fans, the Atlanta Falcons Twitter account itself, they're bigging up this rivalry between
hashtag
Falcons,
hate Saints week, hashtag hate Falcons week.
Falcons and the Saints. And in one tweet, I saw them refer to the Saints, not by name, but by the stop emoji. You know, like the circle, the red circle with a mm-hmm. with a line, kind of diagonal line. They wouldn't even name the Saints in their tweet, which I thought was brilliant. But it's such a huge rivalry. And I think both teams, almost this game, the Saints maybe need it more than the Falcons as a win, but after their stuttering start to the season. But
yeah, losing and then nearly losing to the Browns is a bad way to be. And I think the Saints are really, really missing Mark Ingram. I know Alvin Kamara is a do-it-all guy, but the fact that you had the change of pace, the fact that you could have two backs in the backfield, both doing different things, both who could both catch, who can both run ahead, who can both catch out of the backfield on swings. And I really think that when he comes back after game four, that's when their offense is going to get firing. However, in this game with Atlanta, now with missing Levitre as well as missing the key pieces on defense they'd had injured previously, I think Michael Thomas over the middle could have an absolute field day against the Falcons. Falcons obviously had that huge shootout last week, back and forth with the Panthers. Got going in the red zone. They had to do it by Matt Ryan rushing touchdowns, which is a rarity, but it's great to see them trying something a bit different. I just feel like the Saints going into Atlanta, like you say, need it that little bit more with the huge rivalry. I think Atlanta could fall to 1-2 and the Saints could come away with a win here.
Oh, I'm thinking actually the Falcons might do this. They're starting to grow into their building. The fans are starting to buy into it. There's more of not a 12th man there, but they're starting to be more of a factor. I really love what Tevin Coleman's doing. I know Levitre's missing up front, but with Ito Smith,
Saints pass rush has been non-existent despite moving up in the first round to get a pass rusher.
Exactly that. Matt Ryan looked really good last week. And they're starting to figure out that they don't need to throw to Julio Jones in the red zone. Let's just throw it to Calvin Ridley or get Matt Ryan to run it in. So for me, And I thought the Falcons' defense was actually quite good last week against the Carolina Panthers. For me, I think the Falcons may win, and that's what I'm going for on the Gridiron Prediction game.
Gridiron-magazine.com. You can do your pick'ems there. Some of the games we might talk about in a little less depth than this one. But let's move on and talk about the biggest return in football this week. A true hero returning to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, as the Philadelphia Eagles face the Indianapolis Colts. I am, of course, talking about Jordan Matthews.
I mean, who else would you have been talking about?
Carson Wentz is back, guys.
Oh, that guy.
Wentz is back. And I know they won a Super Bowl without him, but legitimately, my new favourite word, Carson Wentz, to me, has the potential of a top three quarterback this season. The line looks great when they're fully fit. Jason Taylor should be back for this game. I think this is the moment the Eagles click into gear. And the Colts, I quite like, up front, Marcus Hunt. Where was this guy in Cincinnati? He's been unbelievable for the Colts. I think they've done some really... Frank Reich has maybe done the best job of any coach in the opening couple of weeks of the season, of the new coaches. But I think they might be going into a Wentz buzzsaw.
Are you not worried that they may have brought back Wentz a week or two too early because of how insipid Nick Foles has looked?
This was raised on Twitter, and the fact is you're never going to know with this kind of injury until it happens, until the player goes into the game, until they play, until they take actual contact. You're never going to actually know whether or not it's fully back and fully healed. My belief is that we spoke with Mac Hollins 3 months ago, and he said when Wentz was throwing to him in admittedly unpadded practices, that you couldn't tell that he'd been out. He was like, I'm sorry, do quarterbacks get some kind of special surgery that means that they don't need to, you know, do any extra healing? They get back 3 months, 4 months earlier than anyone else. So for all intents and purposes, he looks like he is back and ready to go. The problem is that going to be when Marcus Hunt comes at you, are you going to be still able to stand the pressure then?
There is that. I think also what's going to affect the Eagles' offense is both Ajayi and Darren Sproles didn't practice on Thursday. Obviously, we'll wait for the injury report Friday. Guys, check that out. But I think that's a big consideration. I know Wendell Smallwood will pick up some of the third down stuff, and they've got Corey Clement, who actually I really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that will affect... If either of those two are out, maybe even Ajayi, because he's been a bit of a bell cow on first and second downs last week. I know Darren Sproles was the week before. So I don't know. I don't think this is as cut and dry as many people think. I think might do something here.
Well, do you know what's not been mentioned so far this season that I think been undermentioned so far? Just how good Andrew Luck looked last week. He was really, really good last week. And so I'm saying there's a chance, but I just think the much improved from a coaching perspective defense, I think we could see the Eagles really bounce back this week. Let's go. I'm going Eagles. Are you taking the Colts or are you... You're umming and ahhing over it. I can see it. I can see the pain on your face.
If Ajayi is fit, I'm taking the Eagles. If he's not fit, I'm taking the Colts.
Right, let's turn our attention to Washington with the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers says that he's concerned the knee injury could get worse rather than better over time. But he had a decent game in the tie against the Vikings. They're now 1-0-1. Washington, tough second week out after a really impressive first performance. The Packers are favourites going into Washington. What do you fancy, Ollie? Come on, give us your Packers knowledge on this.
Well, Washington were really, really poor last week. Really poor against the Colts. I think the only player that played well was DJ Swearinger, who managed to pick off Andrew Luck a couple of times. One of them was maybe on Luck, the other one was a tipped ball but up in the air, and Swearinger dived forwards and grabbed it. Defensively, they're looking okay. Offensively, yeah, Alex Smith wasn't great, but you can't really expect that 2 weeks in a row, I don't think. And Green Bay, over the last three or four seasons, have looked porous down the middle. I think Jordan Smith could have a really big game Jordan Reed will have.
Who?
I've just mixed Jordan Reed and Alex Smith.
They might combine for a really big game, combine so much that you're giving them a celebrity nickname.
Exactly. I think they'll have a really good connection down the middle. But there is the Aaron Rodgers factor.
You're really flip-flopping here. I'm going to say that the Packers go into Washington and do it, but if Washington are going to win it, they need their front seven to play like they did in week one, and they need Alex Smith to look good. This is a coin flip game, but I'm going to take the Packers.
Yeah, I'll take the Packers as well.
Beautiful. The San Francisco 49ers head to Arrowhead Stadium to face the Kansas City Chiefs, and Pat Mahomes with his 10 touchdowns, no interceptions, 582 yards, the best two-game starts to a season from any quarterback ever. Oh. Not just a rookie. Well, he's not really a rookie, I know, but yeah, a rookie starter. Going up against Jimmy Garoppolo, the 49ers, an up and down first 2 weeks of the season. The kind of the two factors here which I think make this game more interesting than maybe the 6.5 line suggests. First of all, is Pat Mahomes' first home game, which is amazing. He's done that in two road games.
Yeah.
But the 49ers defense, DeForest Buckner, you've got Reuben Foster back, Fred Warner playing as well as he is. I'm just saying, this is the best defense they've faced. I'm taking the Chiefs, but I think it will be a closer game than many expect because Jimmy Garoppolo will put points up on a bad Chiefs defense.
That's it. The defense of the Chiefs is not good in any way. Again,
is Eric Berry back this weekend? There was some chatter and noise that he was going to be because he's so key for them, in not just in terms of his personal play, but as a leader on the field and everything else. He is a guy who can sway a game even without being the best player on the field.
Yeah, exactly. I like the Chiefs because of their offense. If you match up the two offenses, I think the offense, obviously the Chiefs' offense is purring at the moment, but the 49ers can do something. They've got Garoppolo who is really good, and that defense, as you said, is tricksy. And I really like Matt Breida. So I'm going the Chiefs, but as I'm going to agree with you again, yet again, 49ers could push them close. I think within a touchdown, within a score,
Which not a lot of people are predicting, and maybe we're being stupid doing so. But there we go. There's a couple more, I think, interesting 6 o'clock kickoffs and a couple of slightly lamer ones, but let's pick the pace up a little bit as we head to Everbank Field in Jacksonville, where the Jags last week battered the New England Patriots. They're 2-0. They're taking on the Tennessee Titans. This, to me, I know the Titans are much more fancied this year, head coaching change, everything else. Offensively, if they hadn't had the trickery last week, they'd have really, really struggled. I think the Jags defense will be too big for them. I'm taking the Jags.
I'm taking the Jags, but from a Titans point of view, the players that missed out last week, Jack Conklin and Taylor Luan on the offensive line.
Are they both back?
They both practiced Wednesday.
Oh.
I haven't seen the Thursday report. Marcus Mariota also practiced Wednesday, but it was limited. So, again, it will be closer. I'm taking the Jags, obviously. I think they're a far better team. But don't rule out the Titans if those players suit up and are factors on Sunday. But Jags for me.
Those tackles all do swing it for me a little bit, if you know what I mean. Swing tackle, it's an NFL joke.
Got it. I didn't like it.
Bank of America Stadium. The AFC champions elect Cincinnati Bengals heading to face the Carolina Panthers. No, we're not going with that. They might have been the best team in the AFC through the first 2 weeks.
Ooh, I like that. They were pretty good against the Colts, on the road against the Colts. And at home, I really like them at home against the Ravens. And I thought they bullied the Ravens. The Ravens, who had a bit of a jump up in class after destroying...
Oh, no. The Chiefs have been the best team in the AFC.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've forgotten about the Chiefs. But they're not great defensively. The Bengals might have been the best all-round team
overall
in the AFC so far.
What, over the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were really good?
Oh, they did do well offensively last week
against Cleveland.
They're the best team in the AFC North so far this season.
We should poll it.
Top three.
Yeah.
If we poll it, no one will vote for the Bengals.
No one.
Because they're unpopular.
I like the Bengals. I'm a big fan of the Bengals. There's no Joe Mixon.
Is that still the case?
I think it's
still going to be the case for 2 to 4 weeks, isn't it?
I think that's the case. But
ooh, that makes me concerned.
Also, we're in Carolina. Carolina has really suffered with Hurricane Florence. Often teams come together for the community and kind of put it on their shoulders to give the community something good to think about, something you know, they'll be playing for that ravaged state in North Carolina as well. I think the Carolina Panthers do this because of that, because of the emotion, and the Bengals won't be able to live with them. So I'm going with the Carolina Panthers.
I'm going to take the Bengals in a surprise win. I'm just, you know, if I'm going to say they were the best team in the AFC, which they've not been, but I threw it out there. People laughed at me. People took the mick at me. Then I walked back on it very quickly. but do you know what? I'm going to take them on the road. No, I'm not. I'm lying. I'm going to take the Panthers. I'm switching it. No, Joe Mixon just kills it. No, it just kills it for me.
Let's go to Minnesota.
Are we?
Yeah. 16.5 point favourites against the Buffalo Bills.
We had at least one more good game to talk about.
No, I want to go to Minnesota.
Please, can we talk about the one more good game before we get into the three bad ones?
No. Let's go to Minnesota and let's save the good one to the end.
Okay, fine.
Minnesota. They're going to destroy the Bills by even more than 16.5 points.
It's going to be a battering, hammering, an absolute slobber knocker.
I think it could be a 30-point destruction. I'm telling you, I think it's going to be...
Woof!
I think it's going to be massive. Right, so, let's move on.
Giants-Texans. Two teams who are fancied as outside chances at the playoffs. The Texans more because they're in the AFC. The Giants because of that stonking offense. The offense did nothing against the Dallas Cowboys last week and have nothing on the offensive line and made us sit through that dross for 3 hours.
It was the worst game we've ever had on TalkSport.
That's really saying something. The worst Sunday night football game we've had.
I think easily. And man, we tried to build it up and we kept it going for at least three quarters.
What we didn't talk about, which I think we talked about on the last podcast, is just the Giants not taking a quarterback. They are looking more and more ridiculous.
I think Eli should walk away.
Honestly, just walk off just, into the sunset.
Just go. Bring in someone else, anyone else. Eli, you are dreadful. Just go.
I am just going to highlight our game in 2 weeks' time.
Go on.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, no.
At the Houston Texans.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know. I'm taking the Texans because I can't imagine the Giants ever winning a football game after that performance last weekend. I'm sure they'll be better than they were, but... yeah, Houston to get their first win of the season. Giants fall to 0-3 for me.
Yeah, Texans for me. I'm looking forward to seeing more of Will Fuller V.
The Oakland Raiders going to the Miami Dolphins. The 0-2 Raiders at the 2-0 Dolphins. Matt Sherry is taking the Raiders in this one. And he's taking the Raiders, saying that this was his wording to Josh when we were doing our red zone preview. The Dolphins have fallen into wins. They're nowhere as near as good as anyone thinks they are. The Raiders will beat them this week.
Wow.
The Raiders traditionally struggle when they have to cross
in a big way.
I don't see... there was a small improvement against the Broncos from John Gruden's side, but I don't like the Raiders in any way.
The 3-0 Miami Dolphins. Wow. That's really surprised me, I have to say, but I'm going with them as well. By the way, John Gruden, stop trolling your own fans. It's pathetic. Literally coming out in a press conference saying, it's hard to find good pass rushers. Are you kidding me?
I'm not a fan.
You're a joke.
I'm not a fan of the man.
The last 6 o'clock game, and I like this one. I like it.
Sorry we made it till last.
The Denver Broncos at M&T Bank to face the Ravens. The Ravens are massive 5.5-point favourites.
Lindsley!
Philip Lindsley, Royce Freeman, between them, the leading backfield in the NFL. Both of them rookies. Devontae Booker can't even get a look in. And traditionally, Broncos with... rookie running backs have done dreadfully. Trust me, my fantasy team are fully aware of that. But Case Keenum was hidden by that team last week, and it took a late field goal to beat the Raiders. I know they're 2-0, but I think they're a 2-0 based on a great defense and a little bit wobbly still on offense. I think this is going to be a low-scoring Baltimore Ravens win.
Yeah, I have to agree. I do like Philip Lindsay, not Lindsley. I apologise.
Yeah, who's Lindsley?
I don't know. But the Broncos receivers have looked okay. Sanders and Demaryius Thomas after, especially Thomas, a drop-off last season. But yeah, I prefer the Ravens in this. I think they'll bounce back. And
a little bit fancy under the table for
me
there.
I liked it. A 10-point win for the Ravens.
Right, coming up, one of Joe Tooney, Luke Wilson, or maybe both of them. Plus, we'll look at the 9 o'clock kickoffs and Sunday night and Monday night football. You're listening to The Gridiron Show in association with Touchdown Trips. NFL Game Pass is the ultimate way to watch games, highlights, and NFL programs where and when you want. Miss your favorite team live each week, or tune into watch your favorite team live each week, or tune into NFL Red Zone to never miss a touchdown. Can't watch live? Download highlights. That's what I was going for.
Yeah.
You miss your favorite team.
If you miss them,
you shouldn't. Download highlights direct to your phone or tablet and catch up on the go. It's what I've started doing. Downloading them onto my phone, watching them on the tube into work, watching the 30 or the 45. It's meant to be the 30-minute games, and they're all about 40, 45 minutes, but that's perfect for my journey in.
Well, also, you can download the whole game, though. You can also do that.
Do the 3-hour version with all the adverts and everything.
Which is great, because I love American adverts.
There's always great NFL programs being added to the video library, and the NFL Network is streamed 24/7, 365. Get in on the action. Check out NFLGamePass.com to start your 7-day free trial.
Do it.
9 o'clock kickoffs, Ollie, before we get to Sunday Night Football. And it's the battle for Los Angeles as the Chargers go into the Coliseum to take on the Rams. It was a packed Coliseum last week. We've got a Chargers team who in the first half of last week looked like one of the best offenses in football. Rivers slinging it around. Melvin Gordon with a hat-trick of touchdowns. Los Angeles, all those great offensive weapons. Great talent on both defenses. This, I think, as a matchup this weekend, is the most talent within 106 players that we're seeing anywhere.
This is an LA derby to die for. I love it.
Honestly, Le Derby.
This is a great game. Great game. Two really good offenses. One really good defense. Another good defense. I'm going to take the Rams, but I love this game. It's such a good game that Sky have broken tradition and decided to have this game as their game to play, even though it starts at 9:05, which I'm sure there'll be a bit of overlap with the Saints-Falcons game, which is their early game. If we look at the other two games, we can understand why.
Well, this is it. It's doubly amazing because Cowboys-Seahawks is two of the most supported teams in the UK. It's not going to be a great game of football, I don't think, but it could be quite a tight game of football.
Yeah.
That is amazing, and I think high scoring despite the quality on the defences, and I'm going to take the Rams.
I'm taking the Rams. But this game is going to be an absolute doozy.
Londuze. There's no doubt the Chargers have the better quarterback. Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams. Stop trying to talk yourself out of it, Gavin. Right, the Dallas Cowboys travel to CenturyLink to take on the 0-2 Seahawks. We talked about this on the last show. Russell Wilson, incredibly up and down last week, made his some usual unbelievable plays, but then moments when he really struggled. Dallas get the win against the Giants at home, but go back on the road. Dallas are a team that they have enough elements to be good, but whilst that offensive line is still a problem, what happened last Sunday was they schemed. Those first couple of drives were fantastic. The touchdown drive, obviously, was a really well-run play for the big 75-yard completion. Great throw, great catch, everything about that. But then the field goal drive was far more impressive. We saw a load of read option stuff. We saw them being just a bit more intelligent, doing a bit more with it, a bit more creative. And then once they got through those first kind of 30 scripted plays, they went back to being pretty vanilla and didn't put up many points until the fourth quarter. So that would be my concern. I'm going to say, in the most coin flippy of coin flippy games this week, the Seahawks get off the board at home.
Yeah, I agree. I think Russell Wilson, despite what you say, did show some flashes at the end of the game.
I just said it was up and down. Everyone refuses to recognise the down part of the up and down. That's my beef.
What you say off air to me. I love Russ. I hate the nickname. I love Russell. I really like Tyler Lockett.
So dangerous.
I think he's stepping up with...
That throw was banging.
With Doug Baldwin being out. The touch on Russell Wilson's throws was really, really nice. And let us not forget Will Disley, the tight end who replaced Luke Wilson out in Seattle, the rookie. But, yeah, I'm going to take the Seahawks. And I don't think it's a coin flip. I think the Seahawks do it pretty convincingly.
If you're struggling for a tight end in your fantasy league and you pick up Mr. Disley, just a great fantasy name for you, new phone, who Disley. Just It's a good fantasy league name. Thought
say,
of it the other day.
Say it again.
It's funny. New phone, who disley? You know new phone, who dis? It's a meme.
No.
All right. Ollie showing his sexy, sexy age. The Chicago Bears are playing the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona. Doesn't matter this in Arizona, does it?
No, because the Cardinals are rubbish. I mean, rubbish. Do you know what?
And I'm start Rosen.
Yeah,
actually, do you know what? Don't start Rosen. Don't make Josh face Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, and Leonard Floyd his first week. All schemed by Vic Fangio his first week at quarterback.
Roquan Smith.
Oh God.
No. Don't do it. In fact, if you're going to put money on, don't bet on anything. But Rosen will start next week because either Bradford will be mentally incapable, physically incapable, or just pulled because he had a dreadful game.
Seahawks at home, and the Seahawks have lost everyone but Earl Thomas. So, yeah, I'm save him for that game. I'm taking the Bears.
I'm taking the Bears.
Please take the Cardinals. It would be funny.
Do you know what? I actually really like watching the Bears. I think they're really interesting on defense. I love Khalil Mack. Also, James Dixon keeps trying to offer me the worst trades for Khalil Mack in our dynasty league.
I took an actual trade from James Dixon this week.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how I felt about it.
Chris Godwin for Alfred Morris. I need running backs. He needs a wide receiver. My wide receiver's in front of Chris Godwin. He's never going to get in the team. And Dixon's doing it off the basis of Ryan Fitzmagic being amazing for 2 weeks. We're talking about our fantasy teams. Shouldn't do that.
Apologies.
People don't like it.
Apologies.
Right, let's get to our interviews or interview or maybe no interviews.
Whoa.
We will leave a gap here and then we'll see. Ollie could let us down. We never know.
Didn't we already do the gap for the interviews?
No, we did the gap for the adverts in the middle of the podcast.
Fine. Apologies.
Now is interview gap time. Here comes interview gap time. Let's see who we got.
So we managed to get Detroit Lions, I keep wanting to say Tigers, but the Detroit Lions tight end Luke Wilson. I began by asking him, with Sunday Night Football just 3 days away, what kind of things is he and the team up to? Is it full practice, walkthroughs? Is it study, weights? So what's going on for him and the team in the lead up to such a big game?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty standard across the league. I mean, I haven't been on too many different teams, but from the guys I know, Wednesday, Thursday are your two heavier practices. Friday is still a pretty good practice. Saturday's when you get your walkthrough, kind of cross your T's, dot your I type thing, and then Sunday go play. So again, as far as I know, everybody kind of works that schedule. Obviously, some teams are a little different when it comes to some of the details, but that's a general guideline, I would say, to this league.
How's your first few months as a Detroit Lion been?
Oh, it's been great, man. I mean, I'm excited for this Sunday, kind of get back on track. Obviously, we're not where we want to be, but leave that all behind and get going here. You know, it's still very early, so it's been fun to be back home, you know, kind of being from this area somewhat. Obviously, different country, but close by.
Yeah.
But it's been great, and I'm hoping that this Sunday we have a great performance.
It's under the lights. The nation, the world is watching. We've got it live on Talk Sport. Do players take notice of things like that? Sunday Night Football, is it a big deal for you guys?
You know, maybe for some guys. I'm kind of a big believer that every game is a big deal, especially when you only play 16 of them. So that being said, it is cool. Yeah, Sunday Night Football, like you said, it's nationally televised. But that stuff is just a distraction to me at the end of the day. I mean, we got a job to go do. We play in the Patriots, and whether it's on a Thursday, on a Monday, on a Sunday, Sunday night, you know, we got to go out there and execute our plays. So at this stage, you know, especially for me, going into year six here, the whole like national television thing's kind of lost its lackluster, and it's about winning games. So we got to get that job done.
Business. That's what it's like. New head coach for you and the organization in Matt Patricia, ex-Patriot as well. How have you found him compared to Big Pete?
You know, they're different styles, but at the end of the day, they preach competition, both, you know, very intense. And like I said, they both have their own kind of mannerisms and what they believe in. But, you know, the underlying foundation is competition and competing and going out there and practicing hard. So, again, I don't want to compare one to the other because obviously they're different people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you'll see, I think in any business, you know, most of the successful people really have that competition kind of driving them.
There's been some rumours of some players not liking his methods. You're going to hopefully debunk that. That's not the case, is it?
No, no. We're all, we're all bought in over here and working hard and trying to get this thing turned around.
Absolutely. Matt Stafford, your new QB, how is he different to work with than Russell Wilson? How have you found working with him?
You know, it's a completely different offense, so it's tough to compare the two. I've really enjoyed Matt so far. This guy's very cerebral. He's very accountable. I'm not saying Russell wasn't those things, just, from my situation personally right now. Matt has been really awesome as a leader, a competitor, and he's obviously tremendously talented. I really think the world of the guy, so it's been great, trying to pick his brain and just kind of get on the same page as him.
Now, you were part of the Seahawks team that lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Firstly, are you still thinking, run it, Marshawn?
I don't know, man. That's behind me now. I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. If I could go back in time, obviously we would have scored there. But that's been a few years back now. So I got to kind of focus on the now, and maybe when I'm a little older and I can look back and think about all that stuff.
Well, you guys exercised a few demons a couple of years ago from now when you beat them anyway. But they're always a tricky opponent. What do you expect from them on Sunday?
I expect they're going to be a really tough, fundamentally sound team that does a lot of different things on both offense and defense. But at the end of the day, they're just a kind of a tough, hard-nosed team, and I think the world of what they're doing over here. They put some great film out even this year. I mean, obviously last week didn't go the way they planned, but they got some tremendous players. They execute very well, and that's why they've had such success over the years. So we got to be ready to match that toughness and intensity.
And just one catch for you this season so far. Are you disappointed? Is there anything there that you put in particular to put it down to, or is it just like the change of offense and you're just finding your feet in that offense as your role in that offense?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have an answer for you on that. Disappointed. Obviously, everybody wants to catch more balls. Even if I had 30 catches, I'd be hoping for more, So that's just kind of the nature of how playing tight end and receiver works. But, hopefully I'll get some more opportunities kind of coming my way here soon, and we won't even be talking about it.
Listen, Luke, thank you ever so much for taking the time out to talk to us, and good luck on Sunday.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm joined by offensive lineman for the New England Patriots ahead of our game on Sunday night football with the Pats at the Lions, Joe Tooney. I've pronounced that correctly, haven't I, Joe?
Yes, the H is silent. Most people mess that up, so I'm very impressed.
Well,
a good start already.
Well, that's it. That's great. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, 1-1, a defeat against the Jags last week. It's not often that the Pats go two games in a row losing. So what have you guys done differently this week to make sure that doesn't happen come Sunday night?
I think we just, we took a look at the game film. We learned what mistakes we made. We saw what we did, what we did well, what we didn't do well. And I think we're just really learning from that game and trying to put one foot in front of the other and, correct those mistakes, better execution, better communication, just a better team effort. So, we're all focused on the Lions here and just trying to, put a good performance out on Sunday.
Now, as a lineman, it doesn't get much more difficult than taking on Houston Texans, first time up with Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, and then you've got the Jacksonville Jaguars last weekend, who, their defense is absolutely stacked. You guys on that line have had a really difficult job the first two couple of weeks in keeping Tom Brady upright.
Yeah, each week in the NFL, it's a new challenge. There's really no drop. There's no, off week. Every team has, really good athletes, really good players, great defenses. So, each week brings a new challenge. So we just got to take, one week at a time. Can't look too far ahead or look behind. Just got to stay in the moment and, work on, executing the best we can that week.
As a journalist and as a football fan, we always find it incredible that each week Bill Belichick seems to have a different plan, a different ploy of how to maybe get a particular running back here or a particular running back there open and such like. Is it difficult as an offensive lineman to keep up with what Bill and the rest of the coaching staff want you guys to do to create those holes and create those gaps for Rex Burkhead or James White or Et Al to go through?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I try and stay in my lane and just, do what I'm told and do what I've been coached to do. And, you know, we have some great coaches who, really get the game plan across and communicate with us really well what they want to happen. And it's all up to those practice days to try and execute and, perform well and, just try and follow the instructions and execute. That's what it really comes down to.
Absolutely. So we saw against the Jags that Tom Brady, he wasn't his happiest self, shall we say. Has he been a bit more relaxed in this week leading up to Sunday Night Football?
You'll have to ask him. I'm not sure. I just know how I'm feeling and stuff, so you'll have to ask him.
Okay, fair enough. Next time, I'll text him. We're personal friends.
There you go.
Yeah. Big news for the organization. Josh Gordon has come into the building, as it were. Was he out at practice today and taking some first team reps?
I'm not sure. I was with the offensive line. I had my blinders on, so I was just working with them. So that was what I was doing.
How impressed have you been with your defense? Because you've got to come up against those guys in practice, and I thought they were superb against the Texans. Actually, surprisingly superb for some people, probably not for you guys. So, how have you felt that the defensive line and the pressure that they're getting to, especially Deshaun Watson, week one? How do you think those guys have been playing?
Yeah, I mean, our defense is great. We go against them in practice, camps, every day in practice, and we really get a good feel for those guys over there, and they're all really, really skilled, and they work really hard and play well together. So, it's a challenge every day of practice, but, I think it makes everyone better. And, that just helps our team.
So, you've got the Lions coming up on Sunday Night Football. It's live here on TalkSport. What kind of difficulties do you think they'll give you on the offensive line and perhaps you guys as a team?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a nice combination of size and speed. They're a physical team. They play hard. You can tell that just watching the film. So, it's going to be a really good game. We got to, play together, play well, play hard for 60 minutes. And, so it's going to be a great challenge for us.
You barely miss a game. In fact, I don't think you have missed a game in a couple of years. What do you put that down to personally?
I'm not sure. I try and, stay on top of my body, make sure it's feeling okay, and, prehab or rehab. But I just try and stay on top of all that and, try and eat well and get my sleep at night. But, just been fortunate and just, just try and give my body the best chance it can to, excel and be successful on the field.
How do you think you're playing so far this year? It's difficult for us, as I'm a 5'5", 114-pound guy, so I don't know the minutiae of an offensive line play.
Yeah.
How do you think you personally are playing?
There's always, room for improvement, so I'm just focused on just trying to get better, a little better each week, and, limiting the mistakes I make, just trying to get a little better each week, and there's always room for improvement.
And I know you're a very busy man, so this is my last one. North Carolina, you're from the area where you went to university there as a Wolfpack,
yeah.
And it's been devastated by Hurricane Florence.
Yeah.
How much is that in your thoughts over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, when I was there, my time in North Carolina, we didn't experience anything remotely close to this, so I can only imagine what they're going through, but I just received nothing but, great hospitality down there, just great people in the Carolinas, in the South in general. So, my heart goes out to them, been thinking about them a lot and, texting some former teammates. So, I hope everything goes well down there and the recovery can be quick and efficient.
And just very quickly, I know it's Sunday Night Football under the lights, the nation, the world is watching. As a player, does that figure? I mean, do you realize that the spotlight is on you, or is it just business as usual?
I think, when we get on that field, everyone just kind of locks in and, folks in on that moment and just kind of, it's 11 on 11 in that moment. And that's all I think people are thinking about. So, once you step on the field, you kind of just zero in and, yeah.
Brilliant. Joe, thank you ever so much for joining us and good luck for Sunday.
I have one question for you, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
What did you think about this week's Champions League first round matches? Who's the biggest surprise winner?
Man, I thought the Liverpool game was incredible. What an amazing game of football.
3-2, right?
3-2, last minute winner, amazing.
Yeah.
I thought Man City were really disappointing.
Yeah, lost at home.
What are they doing? I think they really dropped the ball. Man United going away and playing on a pitch that you guys are probably more used to playing on a field that you guys are more used to playing on rather than grass. I thought that was a really good result. I'm delighted the Champions League is back. Who's your soccer team? What soccer team do you support?
It's hard for me to choose one. I really like watching, Champions League. It was great. They separated the two, on Tuesday and Wednesday, they had the 12:55 game here and the 3:00 game. So you could watch, two games in one day, which was really nice.
Which is great.
Which I thought was great. But I've always kind of pulled for Man United, but, I like so many other teams. Just fun to watch quality soccer,
Well, they say over here that Man United is the New England Patriot equivalent football team. They don't have that many fans unless you're a Man United fan, which there are plenty of them and plenty of New England fans over here as well. So listen, dude, thanks ever so much and good luck Sunday. Enjoy Champions League in a couple of weeks time as well.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Nice talking to you.
Wow. I thought Joe Tooney, Luke Wilson, both of them were really interesting.
None of them.
I do that because I'm going to edit it in and out later.
Right.
But I won't. I'll forget. And you'll just hear all three. they were coming on to preview the New England Patriots at the Detroit Lions. The Patriots obviously just coming off a horrible road loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But the Lions, despite the 14-point comeback and being very unlucky against the 49ers with a bullsh defensive call against them, on a Jimmy Garoppolo interception which should have been allowed to stand, that comeback isn't enough for me, and the Patriots defense being terrible against the Jags isn't enough for me to not think that Bill Belichick et al will get a good performance out of their team this week.
They're 6.5 points favorites, the Patriots. Is that too big?
It might be. This is a tighter game than I think many will respect it to be. I think it's a tighter game than many will respect it to be because I do think that Stafford, outside of that horrible first half or first three quarters against the Jets, looked pretty decent last week against the 49ers, who are a better defense than the Patriots, and came back and did score 27 points and got two touchdowns late on when the 49ers took their foot off the gas a little bit. Patriots aren't in their own building either. They've got to go to Ford Field for this. There's enough there that makes me think the Lions will be competitive, but I just can't see the Patriots laying back-to-back eggs.
I think I'm going to take the Lions here.
Here we go!
I don't think they can be as bad as they were. They will, as you said, they got better against the 49ers. And I think
a lot of people liked the Lions to be a force this season.
Well, I did as well. I think...
Sorry, mate.
I think they'll get better. Patricia knows that New England team. He knows especially the offense. He knows what they do with the running backs. Maybe Bill Belichick has kept something back for this game particularly, knowing that he's going up against Matt Patricia. Detroit haven't got anything going on the ground, but through the air, Kenny Golladay is their best wide receiver now, and it's not even close. I really, really like him. I'm going to take the Lions.
That's a man who you loved, Marvin Jones, and the other one, Golden Tate.
I've never really liked Golden Tate, but Marvin Jones I did like. But Golladay's looked a better catcher, a better man once he's caught the ball yards after catch. He's looked really, really, really good.
So someone on podcast picks against Patriot shock, bigger shock, not Will. Okay, I get it. We're locked in. Final game of the weekend, Monday Night Football. The 0-1-1 Pittsburgh Steelers facing the 2-0 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, averaging over 400 yards in the air, 8 touchdowns to 1 interception for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And a rushing touchdown. Let's not forget that as well.
He is dangerous on his feet. He is dangerous on his feet.
Old man Fitzmagic.
Do you know what? Fitzmagic, you have made the Tampa Bay Buccaneers relevant.
Whoa.
He has. Despite the dreadful uniforms, he has made them relevant. He's made them interesting to watch. I love everything that he does I love everything that he's doing over in Tampa Bay.
Keep going.
I wondered what it was. I'm a really big fan. The Conor McGregor thing, wearing Deshaun Jackson's clothes, sunglasses indoors, finding his receivers. OJ Howard is starting to play.
Woo!
I didn't know that was coming. I'm taking the Buccaneers.
I really wanted to be like, I'm going to be a hipster and take the Buccaneers in this one. But you know what? The Steelers, Antonio Brown and his beef this week, and it did lead our conversation earlier in the week. It did end up leading to discipline against Antonio Brown when he didn't bother turning up on Monday. Lev Bell with his issues. And there's sneakily more beef between Antonio Brown and Big Ben. If you look back over the past couple of seasons, they didn't get on over the anthem stuff. Just think there's so much wrong on that offense right now. And it's one of those weeks where if I'm trying to pick up a game later in the season, I'm like, no, this is where everyone will pick the Bucks because of the first 2 weeks. But I think they'll turn it around. But do you know what? I believe. You know, never believe it caps through. It's magic. I'm also taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Wow. Both of us taking them. Ridiculous.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know what? I'm going to go and say it. I'm starting to like their uniforms.
Right, now you're a disgrace. You're gone. Your mic's off. You're not allowed back on anymore. That's your last ever words on this podcast were, I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniforms. With the digital clock numbers, are you mad? I'd rather bring the creamsicles back.
Bring me back.
No.
Bring me back.
No.
I just want to apologise to you. I don't want to apologise. I love you.
You actually got me then. You legitimately got me. Right. Thank you so much for listening this week. It's been really good fun, as always. Do give us some feedback on Twitter. First of all, review the podcast on iTunes and wherever you get it, because it gets it to more ears, and we really appreciate it. If you tweet about the podcast as well, tell more people. The NFL is growing exponentially in this country, and we love what we do and want to keep bringing it to you. So please, please, please get more people involved. Not that I want to sound like I'm begging or anything. You can hear me and Ollie on Sunday Night Football from midnight on Sunday, bringing you that Patriots-Lions games. Ollie, any final thoughts?
No.
Well, let's go to Warren then from RedZoneSports.bet for the latest odds for this weekend.
So joined now by Warren from RedZoneSports.bet. Warren, I mean, the main thing is the Browns have won a game of football, so essentially all bets are, well, not off, but on for this weekend.
I mean, I'm sure you've already covered this, but I stayed up, watched the game. I thought he was brilliant. And the atmosphere around the Browns when he came on, I think Tyrod Taylor might have been putting on that injury a little bit much. He was getting booed, and suddenly it suited him to get out of the game as well. But no, I thought Baker Mayfield was, sensational, actually, and it's quite exciting times.
I think it's going to be a remember where you are moment, genuinely, or remember where you were, not are. I guess it's the same day. We'll go with are.
I was on my sofa in my pyjamas at 4 o'clock in the morning, but I don't know where you were. You were in Talk Sport. That's probably why.
I was at home. I managed to nod off during the second quarter. I woke up and it was 14-3, and I was like, oh, the Browns have got on the board, brilliant. And then it came up at half time and I'm like, what, Baker Mayfield's in the game, what? And had to rewind it and watch like the last 5 minutes of the second quarter. And then obviously I didn't fall back asleep again because I was far too excited about the Baker Mayfield revolution. So you'll hear it if you listen to the podcast. There is a very ropey recording of me at about 5 in the morning. It's a little bit delirious reviewing the game.
I look forward to it.
We're here now. That's the main thing. Let's look forward to the weekend's primetime action and kick off with the NFC South. It's Hate Saints week. It's Hate Falcons week. How are we seeing this game in the eventual home of the Super Bowl?
Well, the line is 2.5. So Atlanta Falcons minus 2.5 at home. But I like the Saints to win the game, to be quite honest with you. I think last week the Falcons were able to focus on McCaffrey, but this week they've got to defend against Kamara. They've got Michael Thomas out of the slot. They've still got Ted Ginn Jr. down the field. And all this time they've got to still deal with rushing the passer, which is going to be harder for them because they've just lost their defensive end. He's likely to be out. And I think the Saints are a better defense than they've shown so far this season. And also the Falcons are losing their guard, and I think that's going to hurt their protection. So I would go for the Saints to win the game at 6-5 and not even worry about the 2.5 points. That would be the bet I would do.
Nice. No, I love the confidence on it. And I like the Saints as well with those Falcons defensive issues, as I was saying to Ollie earlier. So, yeah, I am absolutely all in on that one. Let's move on to my favourite of the evening games this weekend. Chargers at Rams. I mean, the Battle of LA, two great offences, lots of talent on defence. A real slobber knocker looking of a game.
Yeah, well, I don't understand what's happened with the line here. You know, the line makers, our traders and traders around the world open up and it's 4.5 line. So you back the home team, the Rams at -4.5. The line's now moved to 7. And I don't see what's changed. Yes, money will move a line and bookmakers like us will defend ourselves when we're starting to get bets come in. But the Chargers +7, I think that's a bet, because I think the Rams defense, everybody loves the Rams defense, but they're yet to play a good offense. And Rivers is I think playing the football of his career. He's quick thinking and he's accurate, and so I think he's going to be able to cope with whatever Donald and Sue, like, you know, bring at him. And the Rams themselves defensively, although they're great, they do leave the middle of the field fairly open. And I think you know, the Chargers and Rivers are going to be able to hit Keenan Allen or their running backs, and they're going to be able to move the ball on the Rams. And I think also themselves, when they're in defense, you know, Goff's not great under pressure, and I think Gus Bradley's going to be a little bit creative with some of his safety blitzes, and I think he's going to try and disrupt Goff, and for that reason I would be taking the Chargers +7.
Yeah, I hope that they do get creative, because the one concern is that cover three defense that Gus Bradley plays is one that, when you've got a lot of deep threats, which they've now obviously added with Cooks as well, can be exploited. But my belief is that it won't be. I think the Chargers will keep this tighter than the line suggests. I'm with you on that one as well. Sunday Night Football, Pats at Lions. Now, the Patriots haven't lost back-to-back games in something like 4.5 years. And the Lions aren't a very good football team. Feels like this one should be quite heavy favourited towards the Patriots.
Well, the Patriots are 7-point favourites, but I wouldn't be touching that. You know, I don't trust the Detroit Lions enough to back them +7, I should add. But, you know, I think that, you know, Matt Patricia's there. He obviously knows the Patriots inside out. The Lions themselves aren't clicking very well at all. They look a pretty poor shadow of themselves, and they've not been that great over the last few years. The Lions, 53.5, I'd be going under that, to be quite honest with you. Yes, they've got Josh Gordon, but let's face it, this guy is not the brightest bulb in the ceiling or sharpest tool in the box. He's only played 11 games in 4 years, they said last night on the broadcast, and most of that has been through suspensions, because the man is an idiot. So how is he going to come in and pick up the Patriots offense in a week? He'll be there as a decoy, but I reckon the Patriots will win. I reckon they probably will cover, but I wouldn't be putting any money on it. I'd rather go for the under 53.5 and take it from there.
So we're saying Josh Gordon, more Chad Ochocinco at the Patriots than Randy Moss. I think that's the direction we're going with this. And then I love Monday Night Football this week. This is a fantastic and fascinating game. Bucks at 2-0 at home. Welcome the Steelers at 0-1-1. And do you know what? I quite fancy the Bucks to inflict another defeat on Pittsburgh.
I was speaking, you know, I speak to our traders before coming to this show, and they were saying the same thing to me. They think the line's wrong. You know, they're considering being brave and going out on a limb and maybe moving it a little bit, because Tampa should be favourites. You know, they should be. Fitzpatrick's looked absolutely sensational. I wonder whether he's going to be sort of the Case Keenum of this year. You know, the backup that comes in. The guy you can't drop, you know, he's the journeyman quarterback that's maybe going to have a great season, because I think, you know, I think the Steelers have got troubles on defense. Okay, they're getting Joe Harden back, but you know that their secondary is porous, and I think that the Tampa receivers are just a mismatch for them. And I think they'll be able to score, and I think Pittsburgh are going to be able to score in Tampa as well. But the you know the Bucks are the better team right now, and so if you want to put back the Bucks plus two. You could do that. I'd go for a Tampa win. Tampa win is 11-10, and you can also go for over 53 points. They would be the two bets I'd in the game.
Beautiful. Warren, anything else from this weekend catch your eye?
Catch my eye games wise. Well, everyone's sort of interested to see what Carson Wentz is going to do when he goes back at when he's back under the center in Philadelphia. I think I've picked the Eagles for my last man this week. So I'm hoping that he's going to hit the ground running. But that's the one I'm interested in. I also think the Giants going to the Texans, Giants plus six. I think that's a good bet myself as well. I mean, I always like a high. Give me a load of points. I always like it. Giants. Yeah, they may be a little bit weak in some areas defensively, and I was singing their praises defensively a couple of weeks ago on this podcast, but you know they've looked a little vulnerable. But I still think they've got the weapons to live with a Texans team that's stuttering themselves, and so I would like that as plus six as well. I think is a fairly decent bet.
Brilliant stuff, Warren. Really appreciate your time. And as always, over 18s only, head to redzonesports.bet, and please gamble responsibly.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.